playtime's over, motherfuckers. Spice One is definitely in a motherfucking effect. You know what I'm saying? Bringing it to all you bitch ass niggas. So raise up and recognize and understand that this brother is hard to kill.
I'm running these niggas up off they block, taking they shit, gagging they riches. Peep this, but nigga can't sew up your spot. I'm leaving your shit up with stitches, nigga. Bullets fell through the dough. I shoot you and that hoe. Got a cap for each of the niggas that's fucking around with my cash flow. Pin cap, we love cap pin, cause in my neighborhood, cold still killing wheel.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 8. Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Rolls. Made right here in St. Paul.
By the way, I want to know, you said that we could get some of those when we got
We'll
it.
See. Okay. We'll see. We Depends on how you behave.
So we got to wait to say thank you, Rob, until the end.
And right. Then we get our nut roll.
Yeah.
Then we get it. And actually, I drive by the nut roll place on the way
Pearson's?
To Jaren's
Yeah, it's right
house.
By my house.
Yeah. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Today I have Capacity and Jaren, otherwise known as Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Oh, wait, no. You guys are Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates, right?
We're more on that line. We're more on the...
More Hall & Oates than Macklemore and Ryan Lewis?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Do you know who those guys are?
Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
Classic rock.
Oh, Hall & Oates. Yeah. I'm talking about Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
No, yeah?
That song has been stuck in my head for like...
Thrift Shop?
I'm telling you, I'm more of a fan of the Seattle...
Mariner Sir Mix-a-Lot?
That he made. Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot. I'm actually more of a fan of
Wasn't
Sir
Wasn't that on The Best Love is Free? I like came backwards and realized that he was on there after, you know, he blew up with the thrift shop.
Right.
You know, every day that was going up at like 10 million views.
Oh, yeah.
Just go on
it blew up really quick. Wildfire. Actually, you guys are the early birds. Before
Minus
people are like, who? So really, who are we listening to? Who are these guys?
We're actually early birds.
Right.
There's no the, you know what
no
I'm
the.
Saying?
Nope.
No,
no
the. With a period at the end.
Right.
Hey, can we start this thing over?
No,
I'm just joking.
All right, today we're going to talk about Spiggity Spice One's America's Nightmare. But last episode I had Team Bad Decision on. That's Marinus of PLC and Miss Tress of THC. They have their own deal now called Team Bad Decision. We discussed Adam Sandler movies. Do you guys like Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Well, back in the day.
Right. Not anymore? Now that you're all grown up. Now you like the movie Grown Ups.
His newer stuff kind of is hit or miss.
Yeah, like Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think I saw that whole one. Actually, yeah.
You know, introduce yourself there.
My name is Capacity.
And I'm Jaren.
And this is Jaren.
Hi, Jaren.
We are early birds.
Hi, Capacity.
We're up here early, if you wonder why we're talking. So
yeah, much. Early birds just is not a clever name.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a lifestyle.
Well, it's almost 10 a.m. On it Saturday.
Is. Yeah.
People might not be listening to this till Wednesday.
I had to start my day at 7.
Right.
7 to get over here by 10.
That's healthy. You know, that's good. you know, I have a correction because on the last episode we were talking about Adam Sandler movies. The highest grossing movie I said was Anger Management. And this is the problem with the internet is like you find one site that might say that's true, but it's not.
It's Happy Gilmore.
No, it's actually
Madison.
The Waterboy.
Oh.
Waterboy. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. I would think Billy Madison, that was one of my
right.
favorites.
Yeah, but it takes a while for people to... I bet that might be the highest grossing DVD sales or something, because, you know, people might not have seen it in theaters, but they would have bought the DVD or the VHS. You know, whatever. Fuck you, internet. Oh. I have to
Jerry Reed
myself.
Was in The Waterboy. He's like a country singer.
Okay.
He was actually in Smokey and the Bandit, too.
Okay.
But actually, he was in Smokey and the Bandit 1 and Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Reed, he's a country singer.
You know, there was another correction that on a past episode. Again, I always tell misinformation and then I have to correct myself. So, and this was actually back, I had Big Jess on the show and we were talking about Notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die. And we were bullshitting about how Puff Daddy did not even write that song, I'll Be Missing You. You know that dedication song that for his friend that died and it was coming from his heart?
Who wrote it?
I don't know.
That
doesn't matter, but
I seen
it wasn't him.
I seen an interview with him and he was talking about the moment that the song came on and it sparked inspiration and, you know, he made a whole big deal out of it in an interview I seen about him. That's kind of...
Actually, I'm sure he wants you to believe that he wrote it.
This guy named Marcellus Jackson, he's in this old group called the Star Tops, and he actually wrote that song, wrote those words. I heard Puffy paid him probably a large sum of money, gave him some women or something, I don't know. And then Marcellus just dropped it. You know,
did you just make that up?
Yep.
Sweet. Man,
in
that's
this
good.
Interview, you will not know what I'm talking
about. What's real
and
what's not.
What's real, what's fake. Let's start
He's
it.
He's got a poker face.
It's like a magic show.
But in some research, I did find that... they released that song before Sting because it samples that Police song, Every Breath You Take. So they released it before they had the rights to for that sample. Mm-hmm. So Sting basically had them by the balls there. And so he got like some serious stake in the funds for that. So he gets some handsome royalties off of that song.
I thought it was cool. I think they played at the MTV Awards or something. Mm-hmm. He played somewhere and he performed with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, shit, he's like, you know, thanks for making me some money, guys. Yeah. Maybe next time you should think about asking me before you release the song.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's how he sounded.
Bet you he sold some records, too.
Yeah. All right. So, Spiggity Spice 1, blah, America's Nightmare.
Blah, blah.
Did you know that Spice 1, his name Spice is an acronym? Spice mm-hmm. is Sex, Pistols, Indo, Cash, and Entertainment.
Nice.
So I got a couple of me. You know, I got Rob. Rob's over Baghdad. Rob's over Baghdad. Or if you want to go the Fatty McGee route, Pimpin' Hoes at that time yearly. May Curious George eat everything. Just a couple of acronyms.
Oh, man.
So just if you want to take some time later today, just come up with some good acronyms for yourself.
My name's too long.
Yeah.
I thought he used Old Spice. I just always thought, like, that's how maybe it was
as
like
he gets
old
older,
Spice.
Maybe
I thought he's a chef.
That's he'll be like 50 or 60 putting out an album, Old Spice back.
Yeah. Did you know? I didn't know he was discovered by Too Short.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
But shit, Too Short's like in his 60s, so of course he's been around.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Too Short.
Yeah, it's the last album, y'all.
That's right.
Album number 45.
So I just wanted to go down his list of albums here first before we actually get into it. So Let It Be Known, 91. Spice One, 92. 187 he wrote in 93.
Oh, yeah. 187 he wrote. Ooh,
he was pretty steady with an album a year there for a minute. America's Nightmare was 94.
Oh, yeah.
1996 in 95.
That was a good one, too, I thought.
Yep. And then, to me, he kind of
fell off.
I don't know if it got repetitive or what, but
Bossolini.
Yeah, Black Bossolini was 97. And then I haven't heard anything since then.
No.
Immortalized in 1999.
Oh, I might have heard that one, I think.
The Last Dance, 2000. Spiceberg Slim, 2002. The Rida, 2004. Dianth Ball, 2005. Then he took a little time off. I think actually in between, he got shot at some point, didn't he? Like for
real? I'm sure he's been shot a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I seen a documentary with him in, and he was just all gangster, had the people around him. He's taking his mom to the grocery store or something, but it was like they had guns and running down the street.
So, okay, so between 2005 and 2010, there was nothing. Oh. 2010, Hollow Point.
He's coming back.
And then 2012, Home Street Home.
And then he's got Old Spice coming out in 2014.
Right.
Old Spice Volume 1 and 3. 1 through 3.
So America's Nightmare, and this was like right on the high point of gangster rap, you know, right in the gangsta wave. Let's call it the gangsta wave. He was surfing gangsta wave with his AK-47.
My favorite line, and I can't even, I'm not good at like reciting other people's lyrics, but the song with Tupac on there, Spice motherfucking one, leaving bodies numb, you know, whatever that line is. Got my hand on my gun, whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the line where he says, I'm a G, motherfucker. Can't you see I'm a G? Rolling deep with my fat fofo Uzi. I pretty much know that album word for word.
It's
a classic.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to get the most, you know, intellectual lines from the guy.
No.
You know. But... It's good gangster rap if you like gangster rap, you know.
I actually don't even really like him. Let's go on to the next guy. What about MC8? What do you think about
so,
MC8?
So, yeah, somewhere in there, when was it that, I think it was for a movie soundtrack, they did a song.
Menace to Society.
Menace to Society, okay.
Which is a real good movie.
MC8, Spice One did a song together, and it was pretty cool. Tell you what, let's just talk about the album here, then we'll go on our tangents.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was just joking about not talking about Spice One.
I know you are. But people can't see your face from here. he gets this, I'm joking face. So look.
And I did my hair, too.
And he looks great. He looks great. Jaron looks like he just rolled out of bed.
Yeah, pretty much.
So this album was released on November 24th, 1994, on Jive Records. The album was produced by Ant Banks, who did a lot of production for Too Short 2. Battle Cat. He's still relevant, isn't he? He's still doing stuff. A guy named...
He's seen him on some Snoop Dogg records or something back.
Blackjack, DJ Slip, and Spiggity Spice One himself.
Nice.
Blah. The album actually peaked at number 2 on the hip-hop albums, Billboard top hip-hop albums, and at number 22 on hip-hop songs for Strap on the Side.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling with my motherfucking strap on the side.
What was that song he did where he, like, made characters, but they're all gun names? Or was it?
Oh, that was on the first album. He had an alcohol one and a
then this the same one, thing. Yeah, gun one and an alcohol one.
Yeah.
My mom is not going to be able to listen to this podcast. I said Spice motherfucking One.
Yeah.
And I just said it again.
We'll beep it out. We'll have a mom or a kid friendly.
Yeah, I was thinking, can you do that? I'm just joking.
And this album is actually considered to be his most influential album. This particular album. So the guests on this album, E-Fowdy.
Oh,
yeah.
Tupac. Method Man.
That was a nice collab. That was kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, the Method Man one. Yep.
Yeah. And that was cool to see him then on Tupac's album.
Yep.
Later on, you know, kind of.
We had an East Coast, West Coast thing going there. Right. And that's then, that wasn't other... really. Was that before or after the big feud?
It might have been.
During?
This was before. It had. Well, it was before. I'm pretty sure it was before.
Yeah.
Probably right before.
But that was the Method Man appearance, especially because I think Tikal came out like that year too. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was really into Wu-Tang at the time too. And then the Method Man solo joint came out. It was cool to hear him on there. You know, Method Man does it a lot.
Yeah.
That's how he, that's how he breathes.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
Like MC8 has Gia, you know, and Spice One has blah. Method Man has.
Where were you guys at this point in your life when you heard this album?
I have a vivid memory of one of my friends moved out to the country.
Right.
And this was, in 94, so almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had just started driving, so I must have been like 16. I should get my facts straight. I could be making myself 40 right now. But I don't know. I was just had a car, I think. And I remember the Spice One record came out, and I had, like, just enough money to get it. You know what I'm saying? Probably didn't even have enough gas money to get to the down in the valley. I think that's probably where I went to go get it from. And I just had to go get that record. And I remember waking up because I stayed at his house or whatever, and then waking up. I couldn't have been 16, because why would I be able to sleep over with something? Anyways, whatever. I was 13. I was driving, and I got this CD from. I must have been younger, actually. I was younger than that because you guys talk for me.
How about you, Jaron? Where were you?
I don't specifically remember the album because there was so much more hip hop going on at that time. But I just remember being at Humboldt High School, west side of St. Paul, probably ditching most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Barely graduated, but yeah, kind of. Was the soundtrack of my high school years, definitely.
This album?
Okay, I gotta say something real quick, sorry. I guess I was like 13. I made myself way older than I thought I was. I was 13, I must have got picked up by my mom, and I said, Mom, we gotta go get...
This Christian rock album.
We gotta go get this record.
Were you guys buying like rap albums like when you were 13, 12? Yep. Somewhere in that age?
Oh yeah.
Like Parental Advisory albums? It doesn't have to be rap, I guess anything.
Yeah, I didn't. I kind of looked past all the parental advisories. My parents never really cared.
Right, neither did mine. Did the record stores ever deny you the sale?
Well, there was one time, but my dad had to take me, and there was a place called Tidal Wave. Do you remember the
Tidal
Wave?
Yeah.
And he bought me the two tapes, and one was Iceberg, I think. from Ice-T and the 2 Live Crew, and you had to buy the 2 Live Crew behind the counter.
Right.
I was like, you gotta get this for me. And later on, he denies and says he thought it was the new Motley Crue album.
Oh.
but whatever, I was blaring it loud in my basement, and yeah. I don't know what my parents.
And he still thinks it was Motley Crue. There was two incidents here. There's two different incidents. One of them, I went to buy Tupac. It was not Tupacalypse Now. It was strictly for my N-words.
Oh, yeah.
And the lady at Best Buy would not sell it to me at the register. So she denied me. Second time was Ugly Kid Joe. Remember Ugly Kid Joe?
Yeah.
It was the one I think that had the Statue of Liberty with the finger up. And I bought it.
Everything I Hate About You.
I think so, yeah. They actually sold it to me. And I get out to the... I think my mom, my aunt was in town from Indianapolis, my mom's sister, and, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to run into Best Buy here and buy this quick, and I'll be right back. And I did that, come back to the car, I'm opening it, and my aunt's like, what? This has a parental advisory. She, basically called me out, and my mom had to take it away from me. Until
did she give it back to you?
Yeah, well, I think she kind of... My mom kind of forgets about shit pretty quick. So once my aunt was, done visiting, she went back home, and... then I just came across it, and I took it and listened to it. I think I actually just took the tape out of the case and left the case where it was and listened to the fuck you lyrics of it. And I
that
just,
was what was so great about it.
Now look at me. I'm just wrecked.
I remember sitting and counting all the swear words on the Easy Does It album.
Yeah.
And there was over 60. I don't know how many there was, but there was a lot. And I sat there and counted every one of them like, yeah, this is awesome.
The more fucks, the better. Nice. So, yeah, so there was America's Nightmare. So did you guys get into anything before or after this album?
Yeah.
Spice One?
I liked them all.
Yeah?
I mean, not the later ones, but the first one I heard was his first,
Spice One.
Yeah, I pretty much heard them in the order.
I think this is actually where I started. Then I got 187 he wrote. And I think that's the one on that album. He has a song where he does this kind of stuttering thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Never heard anything like that.
That was cool.
Yeah, that song just came on XM the other day. I'm trying to think what the name of that title was.
That's cool. Thank you, XM.
Yeah.
For giving Spice One a paycheck still.
Exactly.
And then,
I'd love to
I don't think
Spice
I ever...
on a song.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Hey, Spice One, you want to do a song? With Early Birds.
I don't think I ever got the first Spice, the self-titled Spice One. I always thought, because he kind of had this reggae type thing he was doing, and I couldn't stand reggae music
more,
for a while.
I think it came out in 91 or something like that, so it just had a different sound to it.
Right.
Then the next one turned into his, sound.
And then he was walking down the street and he found a gun one day and he was like...
Yep.
Now I'm a gangster.
And he was cooling on the corner with the cellular phone, knowing that the East Bay was his home. More mail than the rest of the pushers. Got a Glock 9 in
the
bushes.
That's E-40, isn't it?
I don't think so.
All those East Bay artists sell
Spice One. Yeah,
but I don't care. If it is E-40.
Oh, Spice One. Robert Green. That's his name? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
Thank
Green.
You, dude, you got to get him on the show. You guys got the same name.
Yeah. That should be just flat out. That's why I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Your name is Rob. But what if he's like, but I'm not Rob, I'm Robert.
Yeah. Please, Robert.
Blah. I'm Robert.
Blah. Anything else you guys got to say about this album here? While we're on it. Or any Spice One. Or East Bay, California.
I still got the tape of the Great Bossolini or whatever, the Black Bossolini.
Black Bossolini.
And I was in the car because my wife has a tape player, not a CD player.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled it out, you know what I'm saying? But then I decided I can't listen to it with the kids. Right. But I got the tape.
How is that?
But it's not good. I mean, I used to like it. Like back in, I don't know, it might have came out in 97 or 8.
97,
yeah. Yeah. And I actually thought it was kind of dope at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was still kind of into it. But now when I listen to it, it's like, there's a couple good songs, but...
You know, I never even heard that one, because 1996 was, like, Yeah. It was kind of on his way.
And he had too many guest appearances. Like, people started having too many guest appearances. Yeah. And they're not as, you know.
Everybody's album just became the same because everybody's on everybody else's album.
Yeah. And a bunch of people you don't know. And it's like, I just want to hear Spice One, you know what I'm saying? Bring back Spice. This is our way to get him. I hope he hears this and comes back and just comes back hard. Brings back that 92 style. You know what I'm saying?
He's going back.
Bring it back, Spice.
He's going back to his roots.
You got to email this to him.
Yeah, actually, the title track in 1996, Kill 'Em All. Mm.
Kill 'Em All.
Because everybody's dying on this motherfucking album. MC8.
And really, everybody did die. Like, he was chopping people up. Like, he was on some serial killer type of gangster rap on that record.
Yeah,
I still remember that one. And it's like he had someone tied up in a chair or something, and it's like whispering and all this. You can almost see it. That was almost like a movie, if you think about it.
It was vivid?
That album.
Would you say it's vivid?
It's pretty vivid, I'd say.
He was actually born in Texas.
Yeah,
he's Texas folk.
I can tell.
Between 2005 and 2010, I speculated that he was shot, because I thought I remember something about that. And it is true.
Oh.
It's true.
Oh. But he was laid up for 5 years.
We need some serious music here. You're a producer. Come on, give me something like serious. Just some doom.
Yeah.
Spice One was shot in the chest on the morning of December 3rd, 2007, while sitting in his Cadillac Escalade outside his parents' home in Hayward.
Hayward, Wisconsin?
No. doubt it. The shooting is believed to be motivated by robbery rather than any sort of rivalry. He suffered a collapsed lung. He talked about the shooting 6 days after it occurred from his hospital bed.
Now is where you should play an audio clip of that.
Yeah. It's like, I was shot in the chest.
Man, I was just chilling in my ride, you know what I'm saying? Me and these dudes. And
that's all they get you. It's all the shootings. They're just always sitting in their car.
Yep. Right. All of a sudden, bang.
You know what? If Dr. Dre taught me anything, it's don't get caught slipping. You know? Come on. Does Spice One not listen to Dr. Dre?
Yeah.
So, I don't, 187, he wrote very good album. 1996,
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
But
I'd bump it if I had it right now.
So, if you, I would. So, you can't go back and listen to Black Bossolini and be like, this is a fucking great album.
No.
Right. But America's Nightmare, you can.
Yeah.
You want to go and dust off that AK-47 you got and just...
Start shooting.
Like on the album cover, he's just like... You know?
Just gangster, dude.
Yeah, it is. D-Boy's
got love
for me.
This is a weird topic, but this is what's cool about it. The Thank You Rob show is you just random top. Like, where would you think the early birds are going to come through and talk about gangster rap?
Right, yeah.
It's like the total opposite. You'd think MC Rents was coming to talk about gangster
rap. Right,
rap,
and you know what's funny?
Cypress Hill.
You know what's funny is I first offered this album, this topic, to Rents. He's never even heard this album.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Shame on Rents.
And we actually ended up talking about Cypress
Hills. Did you burn
Hills.
Him a copy? Black Sunday. I listened to it a little bit, and that is a classic album.
Mm-hmm. I did not burn him a copy of this. He didn't seem interested.
In Spice One?
Yeah.
What, Rents don't like no Spice One?
Speaking of Spice.
I think MC8 probably made Spice One who he is.
Like handcrafted him?
I think.
Single-handedly?
I think MC8 was sitting back in his Compton house. Compton Most Wanted, chilling. What's my next move? I'm going to make this movie. I'm going to be in this movie, Menace to Society, and then I'm going to create this. Because in Immortalized, on the cover, Spice One looks like a robot of some sort. Like, he's being built.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think MC8 had some technology because he's in it, you know what I'm saying? So he brings this technology, and he's like, I'm going to create this gangster rapper, but he has to have, I have my Gia, and he has to have something, so he's going to say, blah, you know what I'm saying? But I think Spice One on his first record might have been a normal rapper,
got upgraded.
MC8 was like, you know what, before you put out that next album, you come over to my crib, and we're going to, and plugged him in, and started doing all sorts of tests on him, and scientists from all over the world with big degrees. They built Spice One.
Y'all got some snaps on the petrol?
But they didn't make his vocabulary as big as they could have. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, now if you were to build an MC, you could just be like, yeah.
Yeah, just plug in a
dictionary. I think simple is good. You don't want all these big words. You want the common man to understand what you're saying. So building a Spice One is how you're going to get them. But then by 96, I think the Robot Spice one started kind of going crazy. He might have... I haven't even really... Actually, I did hear an MC8, so because I thought maybe he even took MC8 out. It was like, he kills his maker and to take over the game.
This is deep, man.
But MC8...
Is this premeditated, or are you coming up with this right now?
No, I'm coming up with this. No, I thought of this all the way over. No,
well, you know, what if?
Now, let me just think. But no, for real, though. I mean, just ponder that thought.
Think about it. That's deep.
But actually, that wouldn't even be true because Spice One worked with Rappin' Forte. I swear there was another dude. I heard it like in 1998 or 1988 they put out a tape.
Okay.
And this might be something to look up. But I heard it, the little demo thing. I don't know where I heard it. But and it was Spice One and Rappin' Forte. And I want to say like E-40 or something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it was like this before. Right. So that throws it all out the window. But I do think that MC8 had a hand in something.
Right. He had his moment, MC8, where he was kind of the top of the West Coast there. Probably the Menace to Society era.
Yeah. Compton's Most Wanted through We Come Strapped. He might have had another record after that. It was a very short-lived career.
Yeah.
I think he probably had some resentment towards Spice One for taking the shine after he built Spice One.
Right,
Spice
One
just, like, rolls out.
Maybe he orchestrated that hit on him, but he's a robot, so they just kind of replaced parts on him.
It could have
got some aftermarket parts.
And then MCA decided he's gonna skip town and go hook up with DJ Premier and make music. And who knows? I heard they're making an album.
Oh yeah.
Come out, so
who knows what the future holds?
Did you hear the song that MCA and DJ Premier did together? That's awesome.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really? When was that?
MCA signed to DJ Premier's label.
I did not know.
And they're making an album, and you can look it up because I did. And it's supposed to come out in 2013, but it was also supposed to come out in like 2010. You know what I mean?
So Year-Round Records, his label's called. And what is the name of the album? It's like a whole collaboration of everybody on his
DJ
label.
Premier
it's really
album.
Good. You should look it up. They got the last song is touring on the Gangstar bus, and they tell stories of when they were touring it with Gangstar and stuff like that.
Wow.
So. Does MC8's song start off with a
Okay. But, and it's dope. And actually, but I heard
With Premier's production behind that, it's pretty awesome.
Jaren's a huge fan of Premier.
Yeah,
look it up, listener.
I'm telling you, no. But and then MC8 also had a verse on the Kendrick Lamar album.
He does. He does appearances now and then. He pops up on Snoop Dogg's albums once in a while. He's still out there. E-I-H-D.
Bring it back if you're listening.
Well, you guys ready for this? A little salted nut roll party. Dig in, kids. You guys all right? No peanut allergies, right?
Yeah. Are you kicking us out now?
No. This is the intermission.
Oh, nice.
Let's all go to the lobby. What's your guys' history
this
with?
This is worth it.
Pearson salted nut roll.
I love these things. My grandma used to kind of make something similar to this.
Right. It's never the same, though. I know people make them at home, but...
Back in the day, we used to ride our bikes. So this place is right by my house. We used to drive in the lobby, and they'd give away free ones in the lobby. So we'd drive by there and always grab a handful and go down to the park and eat them.
Awesome. I wonder if they do tours.
Yeah.
I believe they do.
We should go on a tour.
They just changed their sign. You notice they got a brand new sign.
Really?
Because of the affiliation with the Thank You Rob podcast, they're up right in there.
Maybe. I'm not going to say
they're doing big things now. You guys are working big.
Yeah. Unofficially. So what's the... It was like a big oval Pearson's thing, right? Now it's not?
It's the same. It's just like they painted. It's like different writing on it or something. Actually, it looks older. It's like they went back to one of their classic styles. So I like
classic
people do that.
I like this too because sometimes you can get like 2 for $1.
Mm-hmm. While you guys enjoy your Pearson salted nut rolls, I'm going to read. I know this is kind of overdone. People do this kind of shit, but these were too good to pass up. Police blotters. The guy at work usually sends me stuff if something happens in East Bethel, where I'm from. East Bethel is just probably half an hour north of the Minneapolis. Up Highway 65.
I think I went to a movie theater once.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, still. I mean, it was awesome when it opened. Tell me what you think of this. A little property damage up in East Bethel. August 15th, last year. A vehicle had its tires flattened and paint scratched at a home on the 200 block of Dogwood Road. Dogwood. You know where that is?
Yep.
I don't. Someone also put dirt in the mailbox and cut hair off of the pet's cat's tail.
Oh, no.
So apparently that happens in East Bethlehem.
Wow.
Here's a good one I found in Orange County in California. This was in March of last year. Police are looking for a man who tried to rob a Wendy's while wearing a plastic bag over his head. Good idea. Two really good decisions right there. Police Lieutenant Tom Basham told the Orange County Register that the man pulled up to the drive-thru window, pointed a handgun at the server, and demanded money. The server closed the window and walked away. That's a pretty good idea. And finally, this one is close to home. This one's in Hudson, Wisconsin, St. Croix County, November of 2011. This is actually one of my favorites I found. A Sullivan Road resident called police regarding a suspicious package on his front porch. The resident said he observed an unknown person leave the package and called the police. The officer said he could see the package was clearly labeled with an Amazon.com logo and asked the man if he'd ordered anything from the company. The man reportedly said, "Why, yes, I did." The officer told the resident that his order had arrived, and the resident said he was comfortable opening the box.
Just needed the reinsurance.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need that.
That's funny.
Can you just open it and tell me if it's the toilet paper that I ordered?
Or some anthrax.
Or anthrax, yeah. Did you order anthrax?
Anthrax CDs.
Some white powder? Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Actually, I just bought this anthrax tape. This is dead serious.
Yeah.
By my house, there's this guy, he must own the record store. Once in like four times a year, he puts out these signs, music sale. And you go, and yesterday I was in this building, which actually ended up being like a studio in the basement. And he has all the these records and CDs and tapes. And they're all like super cheap, a dollar or whatever. So anyways, I found an anthrax tape for when I'm driving in my wife's car.
Nice.
State of Euphoria.
Is that the one with the swirly thing on it?
Yep. And then I got a couple White Stripes CDs and...
A dollar each. Nice.
And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou
soundtrack. That's a good one.
Trying to get down with a little bit of that.
I like that one.
And I had to put
Soggy
back...
Soggy Bottom Boys?
Yep. And I was... And I feel bad saying this because I had to pass up the Brother Ali and Kool Moe Dee. But I was kind of in that mood of like, okay, well, let's get some different music. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But it's cool, the diverse
selection
that this guy has. And it's just
maybe he buys them off Craigslist, like as bulk. Like mm-hmm. I sold all my CDs on Craigslist to a guy that runs a used CD DVD store.
Oh, so you don't got CDs?
I just ripped
here?
Them all. I just kept all my local CDs. The CDs that I really
look through them and take a couple before I go. I always take CDs from people.
Yeah, my collection is dwindling.
Yeah, I ripped them all to my computer except for like I kept all like the classic albums and I kept all the local albums that I really like. So
yeah.
You guys made the cut. I just want you to
okay.
know.
Yeah. So you sent us off.
Yeah, you guys are in a box somewhere in some used. Store
up in Bemidji.
You know what's great? Do you ever at Cheapo? Do you ever look at like your albums?
Oh yeah, I'll go through and check and see what.
But the used. You know what's funny is there's Ruthless albums still there, and like the new album is $10. There's a used one for $10. I don't know how that works, but yeah, whatever.
Retains its value.
If I see a used like one, Apple I always product. Buy it. I always buy it, and then I'm like, get this off the shelf. I can't be having this. We don't need
You just buy like five of them at a row.
All of them are used. I gotta just grab them all. I ain't making no money if you're doing this. I might as well just spend all my money.
I guess yeah.
So there are a bunch of used CDs. I'm not making no money off these. Right. I might as well just buy them myself. Right. You know what I'm saying? Lose $50.
I reaped the benefits.
Resell.
There you go, yeah.
Throw them out the window.
Just autograph it and be like, autograph copy. Just charge $7 instead of $6 that you paid for.
Stand outside and sell them for a couple dollars less.
There you go. I had a good, on Monday, President's Day, I was reflecting on our past presidents by, I hit up Cheapo and Electric Fetus and Fifth Element. I didn't know Doomtree had this DVD out.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Team the Best Team. And I just happened to stumble upon a used copy at Cheapo for $10, and I was like, "Fuck yeah!"
Nice. Buy that. Good?
Yeah, it's nice. Really good, actually. Yeah, very well put together.
They got their stuff going on.
They do.
Like that video when they're doing the karaoke. We've seen that. I forgot what song it's for, but they're all singing karaoke, but they're lip syncing the song for the video.
Oh right,
it's
yeah,
pretty genius.
Yeah, that's right. That was like the first video off of No Kings, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of got it going on, Early Birds.
I heard about those guys.
Yeah. What do you think of them?
They
could use some work.
Yeah.
It's the production is good, but...
I don't know about the rapper.
Yeah. So tell me, how'd you guys meet? How did this happen?
Back in the MySpace days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Connected through MySpace, you know. And he was West End Productions back then. I was just capacity, you know, just making music, doing our things. And then, I don't know, probably 2008, I went to his house to record White Rabbits, the song
Sleepover.
White Rabbits. Yeah.
The Sleepover.
We bumped some Spice One, we burnt incense, and, you know, talked about life. And we really connected. We played some Mario. I grabbed as many CDs as I could out the door and drank all his pop. And it was just good, you know? No, for real, though. I went over to his house. We recorded this song. And at that time, it was kind of like he was still kind of getting his thing together.
I had this cardboard thing. You know the reflectors that are behind the mic? I kind of made my own out of this cardboard and foam and whatever. So we recorded it, and we thought it sounded good at the time.
Yeah.
But we ended up re-recording the song, obviously, before the album. But
I thought
it was kind of fun.
I think you upgraded microphones.
Yeah, there's a whole process there.
All of a sudden, it was like there was a month of time, and it was like... And at first, I was like, ooh, this is the dope-ass beats, cool guy... But this the sound didn't sound like, I mean, it was so...
What was the mic you were using before?
Oh, I think it was a Friends. It was above a stage mic, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It could have been good with the knob, but at that time, it's like...
I had no idea what
you know, doing. And within that time now, like, Jaron has just kind of taught himself how to mix the stuff and, like, then the upgrade, and then when I went back to re-record it or whatever we did, all of a sudden I was like, bang.
Right.
Oh, yeah, this is what it is.
And it's then, that's a good way. It just goes to show what a good mic can do.
Yeah.
Or a good David.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah. And I like it. We kind of started getting together, and with me getting married and starting to have kids around that same time, I was kind of strapped down on, I don't have a lot of time to do this music stuff now. I got to make it worth it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if I get a couple times a month to get out for a day, I'm going to go where I'm going to get, like, really... make it worth it. And then all of a sudden it was just like, now it's been like 5 years of going over there every other week and you know, eating burgers at Shamrocks and plug Shamrocks.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah, shout out Shamrocks.
Hit us up,
Shamrock shout out.
Actually, their inspection is in about a half hour, so
hurry up.
They actually got, we like to go at 11 o'clock. It's like that's the time, you know, except for when we went and it was Santa Claus Day. And then it was weird because trying to eat a burger on Santa's lap is hard, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know,
but
I
you did it, and that's what counts.
But yeah, so we've been making, I don't know, I'm talking so much, you
all right, you're doing
and then right. I like the fact at that time too. My oldest daughter's 12 now, but at that time she was like probably 8, I don't know. And he was cool with saying, hey, she can come and hang out, you know, my wife's working and we didn't have as many kids at that time. It's like, oh man, I can get away. And she'd play video games and bring her packed lunch, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for a couple years, it was like, that's kind of how I got by recording, like, I gotta bring a kid with me. But like, it's cool, and Jaron just was kind of like, yeah, let's do it, you know what I'm saying? And... Yo, now I got a little army at home, so...
Right. Where are you guys from?
I'm from St. Paul my whole life.
St. Paul? Born and raised?
Yeah, born and raised.
Right?
I'm from America.
America.
American. Planet Earth. I'm from Maple Grove, out in the suburbs.
Straight out the Grove.
You know, kind of how we got something in common.
Yeah.
You came from the other side of town.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the albums here. So, Early Birds... Started off with Not Quite There, right? Yep. That was the first one.
And actually, he produced a bunch of songs. Back when I was recording over at Finga's house, we made a bunch of songs together. I think he produced 8 songs on 8.5 months and 2 years collecting dust.
Okay.
This album. It's like the last Capacity album. Because at some point in my life, I decided I'm making so much music with Jaron, I'm going to kind of move away from the... I was like going through that phase in your life where you're like, I'm going to switch everything up.
Right.
I'm going to... Nah, you know, I'm going to retire the making Capacity albums. And right. I'm just going to work on Early Birds, which is pretty much Capacity with Jaron making the beats. So
yeah.
It's like the same thing. But it was cool, you know, to make a name, and we both have to work early, and we're up early. Right. So,
that's where the first project you guys worked together was.
Yeah, we had no vision of making an album. We just kept recording songs, and pretty soon we kind of looked, and it's like, you know, some of them were actually, we started separating where we started putting songs aside for a real album, but they're not quite there. Were the ones that, you know, didn't quite make the cut. Now, listening back, there is some pretty good songs.
Well, there was some good ones. It was hard to make it like some songs we were going to hold on to, but then we had some songs that were similar in story. Because the first album we were going to make was going to be called something about stories, and it was going to be all stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, like, on the Red album, it's a lot of story songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Not Quite There album, there's a lot of story songs. Because then at one point, I was like, I don't want to listen to a whole album of stories. We got to mix this up and have some rap songs and some other songs, and you know,
yeah,
so that's where the story songs kind of separate.
Okay, and then David,
yep,
and that was one. Is that with Jaron as well?
Yep.
Okay,
and that was more of a songs I was making for my family, you know, made a song for my wife and made a song about my grandparent, you know, songs that kind of were simmering around that I didn't really have intention of putting out there because it's like so personal, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, we got 9 songs that really fit nice together. And some of those songs could have been kept for the album too. But then it was like, no, we gotta separate it. We could really make a... And then what was cool about that album is like a lot of my family members, a lot of people, just way different ages. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like getting an email from my 70-year-old... great uncle, you know, or whatever, that listened to it and was like, oh my gosh, that grandparent song was amazing or whatever. And
that's cool.
So then I was kind of like, oh, there's a whole nother...
Specifically that song, we actually did 3 different versions of that grandparent song, and evolved through 3 different beats because the lyrics were so good, the beat didn't quite do it justice, so we just kept re-recording and playing around.
And then we finally hit the right... And that song is a song, it's called Grandparents, it's on David, and it's like, I've had a kid at my school. I work at a school, and you know, a third grader say that is my favorite song, and I've had, you know, a 70-year-old say that's my favorite song. So it's kind of cool.
Your target audience for that is pretty broad.
Yeah, and I try to when we're making music, just keep that in mind and be like, oh,
what would my 70-year-old grandma think about
that? Yeah, yeah. And some songs, it's like, oh, they're not gonna listen to that song.
Right. But, yeah.
But that's But not everything I make is like that, so.
But that's wrong. Cool that you do.
Don't
that's
get a
good.
Twisted spice.
I like that you do make those personal songs, you know, because it comes from the heart.
Oh yeah. Well, you know? I feel like as you're getting older too, and having a family, and just growing up, it's like I've always written about my life. Besides for, you know, making stories and doing this and that, it's like you kind of watch it grow. You can kind of on every album, it's like you can watch. From first Capacity album to the newest Early Birds album, you can watch 10 years of like growth right there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
a good rap song always entails stuff that's very personable like that.
Yeah.
Big Jess does that a lot.
Oh yeah,
and Brother Ali does that a lot.
And Big Jess actually inspired me to do that more.
Right.
Because like I used to, if you listen to older Capacity stuff, it's like real dark and gloomy. That was kind of my style back then.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, hearing other people kind of be like, oh, talking about their family or talking about real feelings, it's like, oh. And then Jaron's beats, that was one thing that actually hooked me to his beats when we were working on the project with Fingas. And it was like, I'm going to grab these beats that I've never even rapped to something that sounds like this, all jazzy or vocal samples or, you know what I'm saying? Pianos and stuff. It's like, I don't... Never, you know, if you listen to my older stuff, there's like none of that. And then all this newer stuff, it's kind of opened it up.
It's kind of cool how a different producer will bring that out in you. You know, different beats, different style.
Yeah.
It's healthy. It's healthy.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely.
And a refreshing sound, let's say. Refreshing.
Yeah.
Like healthy like some nut rolls.
Nice. Yes. They're very healthy for you. So after David, the self-titled, you called it the Red Album.
Yeah, I just call it the Red Album. Well, it's a self-titled album, but it's red.
And actually, that one was in the making during the entire time of the other projects going on. We were pigeonholing away songs, knowing, you know, we're going to have this big release.
One of our first songs we made, Customer Service, I think was one of our first songs we made, and that's on that album. But it was made, you know, probably should have been on Not Quite There. You know, it was kind of, there's a years of time in there.
Badge of Dishonor too was right around that same time frame.
Yep.
Original songs made back then that just, you know, kept working on it.
I just, the art was just a little, I was kind of a little disappointed in the art.
Ouch.
I just, no, I'm just joking. But shout out to you. Rob did the art for that album, and we kind of found what we want to target. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, try to have a vintage sound with a look and everything that kind of, even down to like early Birds lettering, we want it to be classy and, you know, kind of.
I think we grasped that, right?
Yeah.
And I think that continues in where we left off. The album cover there looks really good. So who did that one?
Katina Elizabeth. Okay. She is, she works with Last Triumph and those guys. And, and she's actually going to be doing live art at a show I have in April. So a fundraiser for autism that I'm kind of throwing. So got a few people, but I thought I'd put her on because she did such a cool job. And it's a different look than...
It's funny, from a design perspective to see that. I was like, holy shit, that's really good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even thought to go that direction, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. That's it. The music goes one way, the art goes one way, you know what I mean?
And it fits the music, and she really didn't even hear the album. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She just kind of, the ideas that we had kind of relayed to her, and she, and it was just like, oh, even down to the coloring. Because it's like those, even, you know, that's what we kind of look at too when we're going to put an album. It's like, we got
to
have
so you
this
kind of look. You don't want it to be all red again. Because then you can't call the self-titled the Red Album again.
But we like the red on the Red Album. Because that's just like, I mean, red is just a, and the tree and down to the record mark, you know.
And when it comes down to like primary colors, it is one of them. Oh, so
and it captures your attention too.
Yeah, it does.
Joe Wobbs, the bassist for Project 13, and he plays on a lot of stuff. He always tells me when I'm going to do a show or something, got to wear red because red, I mean, the president wears a red tie when he talks to the world on TV. Red is a capturing color, blah, blah, blah. Shout out to Joe.
Actually, Joe's going to be a guest on the show here soon. I don't know if I'll get him on before the show that you were just talking about. Do you want to give a little plug to that show quick?
Oh, yes. Wednesday, April 17th at Honey. Doing an autism fundraiser. My son was diagnosed with autism last year. And then he started, we kind of got hooked up with this school, the Minnesota Autism Center. And he's been there about, I don't know, since July. And he was supposed to go into kindergarten in the school year. So it was like, I don't know how he's going to start kindergarten. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you have a kid that's five. Is he in kindergarten yet?
No, he's starting.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, and working at a school for so many years, I've worked at a school for like, 17 years or something. So it's like, I was like, he's not going to be able, you know, but in the short time that he's been at the school, now he's going to be above, you know, and he won't have to have special teachers and, and that kind of stuff. So it's like, he knows he's at a kindergarten level. So anyways, I was like, I want to give back and I want to, and how can I do that besides, you know, I'm going to throw a hip hop show. And I hooked up with, Christopher Michael Jensen, this guy that's been doing shows around, I guess, for a couple of years, but he threw a suicide prevention show and they had a big turnout. And so I was like, can you help me? And anyways, so we got Big Jess, No Name, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of people playing. It's a big lineup. I could say them all.
Not like the honorable mention release where there was like,
no, not 30
50 people.
But there's 10 acts,
right?
There's 10 acts. And
will they have white towels to perform with?
Yep, I'm going to bring them. So, and there's like five painters and raffles, and it's going to be a good night and for a good cause.
I didn't mean to mock your show with that, because that's awesome that you're doing this.
What's up with the white towel comment, dude? Let's go. Me and Jaren got to do Shamrocks, and you know what? Peace to Shamrocks. I love the
bacon. We'll see you in 15 minutes.
If Rob would stop talking about white. Anyway, so Wednesday night, it starts at 7. A Scratch, J Love, The Soundsmith.
And you guys are getting back together with the Project 13 deal,
and
too, right?
Project 13, yep. We've been practicing, and it's exciting. And I'm real feeling good. I haven't performed in like a year.
Right.
So it's like, and we're kind of, our set is kind of bringing it back to our, you know, songs we did. So people who have heard of us, they might know some of the songs, or people who haven't seen us will be hopefully like, whoa.
You know, I gotta like, say, I share your, the feeling that you have. I don't rap anymore. I'm retired, all right?
But aren't you going to be rapping?
Because
aren't you guys going to make something, or is that...
Well, okay, on Rents' last album release party, which was in January, at First Ave, we did Lyrical Peds, Lyrical Pedestrians. That was our first group, me and Rents and DC, the district. We got back with... we'd never played with a live band, but Rents has been playing with... Definition of Dope,
it's
our live band, and we did Lyrical Pedestrians with the live band.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes. Greatly. It was awesome, man. It's just a completely different vibe and feel. You know what that's like.
Yeah,
it's like complete. Yeah, just awesome.
I've decided that I'm just gonna. Well, I love doing the DJ sets and stuff.
Yeah,
but at the just with my family and being getting older and not being out, I can't go do shows. I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I can't be doing shows all the time like I could. And so I think I'm just going to try to do a couple good shows a year with the band. And then, you know, they'll learn. We'll do old songs. They'll learn some early bird songs. And we'll kind of play with it that way because people love that live. And it's easy to practice with them and get together. And sometimes it's hard to...
You know, it's a lot more real that way, too, you know?
I was 16 in 1993, you know what I'm saying? So I'm over 40. I can't be.
You're getting up there, man. Start calling you Old Spice.
I'm as old as Too Short.
So tell me, who's... So where we left off, you got the song Swing with Big Jess. That another great song. Who was on the album? What can you tell me about the album?
We can't really tell you anything, Rob.
You got Spice One on a track.
We got Spice One on a track. Y'all be ready. No, I'm just joking. Think about it right now. There's one person out there that just was like, their heart dropped. Was like, they got Spice One on a track.
No shit.
Yeah.
Early birds are coming hard.
And now there's another person that missed our whole conversation, and they're like, they got Spice One on the track? Yeah, no, the song we made was called Murder All Day 187 Proof times 10 Early Bird style rap. Featuring
Early Bird rap.
We actually got a big killer line. We got Spice One. We got MC8 on that. We got Mac-10.
E-40.
Oh, man.
Tupac verse.
Be Legit. Yeah. We got the whole click up in there. We even got Sugar T on that track.
Thug Life.
And what's cool about it is there's no swear words. No, none of them.
We got them all.
And the song is about, like I said, killing people, drinking lots of alcohol. And
really family.
We kept it clean.
And Spice One, he has this awesome, it's like flipping, flipper, snacking, looking, something. I don't know. I can't really remember it. But flipping fuckers, but he doesn't say fuckers. He says fuckers. So it's like, so it's like he's flipping flounder fluckers. Like he's like talking about cooking. I think.
Okay.
He's making chicken sandwiches or fish.
And that goes back to Spice One being a chef.
Yeah,
we've just come full circle on that.
He
right
was
now.
A chef. Did I miss that part?
Jaron was saying spice. Yeah, you know? Spice. There are hidden gems in every episode here. You gotta really listen.
Okay, no, but I forgot what we were talking about.
The real album.
Oh, guest appearances. It's crazy because we only have 3 songs. I think we got 19 tracks. It kind of grew. It's only a 60-minute, you know, there's a lot of shorter songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we got 2 songs that have guest appearances on, but there's multiple people on both songs.
Okay.
So... That's all I'm going to tell you. No, I'm just joking. No, and actually, I've been talking on the Facebook page. I've been trying to put little posts up throughout the week about each person, you know, kind of, because there's a reason why I picked everybody that I wanted to work with, and I could break it down for you real quick in about 30 seconds. Let's get down. Are you ready to rumble? Okay, starting off at the top, we got A Scratch, Of course, he does cuts on the album,
right,
on multiple songs.
Wicked, wick.
And he's been I've known him for years. He's an amazing DJ. Mm-hmm. And whatever we can get him on, we want him on as much stuff as possible. Ace Scratch, hit us up. And and so he's on the album. And then we have Gal Rock, and he's the original Gal Rock, you know what I'm saying, from Los Angeles. And he's I kind of met him through AWOL 1 years ago. We did some shows, and he's worked with quite a few people out in the California area, like AC Alone, Mike and Nine, and, you know, some bigger names out there. But we had him over here, I don't know, a few years ago. He was in town for business, so we had him over at the studio and made a song that was on the David record. And
how hot it was. It's like a million degrees.
Oh, yeah. It was like summer. It was hot and sweating. But it was a good time. And we made that song, and I've stayed connected with him. I like it. I like his music. He's kind of an old school dude. Mm. It's like, I feel like...
Who's that again?
Gal Rock.
How do you spell that?
G-E-L-R-O-C. And so he's on a song. And we got No Name on a song, which I know No Name was on the Rents album.
Yep.
And the reason I wanted him on, because he's probably, I'd say, I don't want to sound like a hater with this comment, but I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the local hip hop. Like, I like a lot of it, but then, you know, whatever. So anyways, but No Name is always stuck
there's
out
a lot
to
of
me.
Crap out there.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm not like a huge fan of anybody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And but No Name, I would say I'm a fan of No Name. I like the Length of the Blade album is probably my favorite hip-hop Minnesota hip-hop release.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I've always wanted to do a song with him, so getting him on a track was cool. And him and Gal Rock are on the same track.
Okay.
and then this dude Ethan, and he's kind of he's from Illinois, and he's kind of a technical rapper. Like he's like the White Carnage is what I could say. Like,
okay.
He can rap like we had him on a song a while ago called Hell Yeah, and I hit him up. I said, I want you to rap like some Tech N9ne style at the end. And he sent us back, and it was like, so that's kind of, and he's on the same song with those guys.
Okay.
So how
did you come across him?
He's in Hecatomb. He's kind of, Carnage kind of hooked up with him years ago.
Okay.
You know, we did a show at the Dinky Towner years ago. And we kind of stayed in contact here and there. But then when I was listening to him, I was like, our voices sound similar. We should do more songs together, you know, because we're trying to collaborate between Hecatomb artists, but everybody's got their own stuff, so it's hard to. But he was easy to collab with, and we did a couple songs. And actually wanted to start a side project that's kind of been pushed aside. It's a real side project called Goliath, and it would be me and him and Jaren, and because you'd have to hear him. His style is real raw and dope.
We have an interesting sound project.
Yeah. And our voices are they mix well together. And then I have another song with Illogic is on it, which was real cool because. And the reason I picked him is he had a song on his album Celestial Clockwork, and it was the last song, and it was a song about God. But the song was so deep and so dope to me, and the way the ending of the song always stuck out because he went into the record, and they must have sampled like a gospel record. And this is an album that Blueprint did the whole production on it, and they sampled this gospel record. So then at the end, the beat like goes out and it goes into the record, and you can hear the record crackle, and it's like, you know, I don't know what they're saying, but there's like a choir and these kids and singing this hallelujah or whatever. And that song just was like, oh my God, this is one of my favorite songs I've ever heard, beat wise, rap, whatever. So when it came across making a song where I was going to like, okay, let's make a raw rap song about God. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like just some whatever. I'm going to hit up Illogic. And Illogic hit me up and, and he said, you know, I don't know what I should. Anyways, we talked on the internet a little bit. I pretty much said I'm a family man. I got 4 kids, and I'm trying to make this dope song. Mm-hmm. And then a day later, he sent me his verse.
Wow!
So I was like, he was like, "Well, send it to me, and I'll see what I can do." But the beat has to be dope.
Mm-hmm.
So then And I was just floored because I was like, this dude, people I know that I've been friends with, close friends with for years, he can't send you a song in a day. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah.
So, and then there's this other dude named Sev Static on the same song. And I've been a fan of his for probably 10 years. And so to get him on the song was dope. He's from New York.
Yep.
And then a close buddy of mine, he outspoken. He's just, I went to elementary school with him. We kind of grew up. I kind of wanted to bring it back to the roots and have him on a song too. So
you got a lot of those
Unless
guys.
I have a couple vocals in my email when we get back to Terrence.
Yeah.
There's a couple more I was just sitting on, you know what I'm saying? But
so when's that album coming out then?
Next week.
Next
on
week?
On the first. On Friday.
Damn.
Friday. That's why this was a good time for us to come out.
Right.
So free download. You know what I'm saying?
We'll okay. You guys aren't pressing it?
No.
No. Oh, and Big Jess is on it. And I was happy to have Big Jess on a song. That was our third song we've done with him. He's kind of someone I look up to in the local scene here, too. You
he
know,
is. Yeah,
because
absolutely.
He's just a humble dude.
Yeah.
And he's so down to earth. And so.
Someone who's been around so long and had some big things. He's very humble, you know. Jaren's, you know, you sell beats, you produce beats, you sell them, and
I don't really, yeah. Don't
but
really
you've had them. You've had,
but you will sell them. So if you want some beats, hit them up.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, you need to sell them. You got to sell them.
I'm his manager now. Yeah. Hit me up.
Yeah, sorry. hit up Capacity if you need a beat from Jaren.
We'll work it out. We'll work it.
There's a little bit of a markup there, but everyone's got to get their cut. It's cool.
I need to make my 50%.
But you've had a few beats used.
Yeah, kind of on a roll. Yeah. Started out, you know, me and Tony Bones have been working with each other for a while, and he landed that song with Sluggin' AG, which became an amazing video if you haven't seen it yet. It's,
yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
So then, that's Tony Bones of Long Doe.
Yeah, Long Doe Records.
So, and what's the name of that song?
It's A Story of Moral.
Story of
Featuring
Moral.
Featuring a slug of atmosphere and AG.
Yep.
From AG and Showbiz.
Yep. And DITC.
DITC. Digging in the Crates. One of my favorite crews. So that's kind of amazing at that.
And then who's the other one? The other video that's...
Oh, Type. The MC Type from Seattle. He was part of the Let Go.
Okay.
If you've heard of the Let Go at all.
I'd never heard of him before.
Have you seen any of
that.
Type's videos? You gotta check him out. He's
hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, just judging by that one with Prof. That
he is funny. He is funny and he has some awesome videos.
Yeah.
Cool guy too.
Yeah, I've been working. That was another MySpace connection back in
Type
the day. That transitioned to we soon gonna have an early birds collaboration with Type, but we need to find the right subject matter because
right,
he's someday. He's got a real particular style to himself.
He kind of seems like a hippie rapper, but with like a comedic style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how to describe that.
That's how it's so weird because in that song he's kind of different than you got to watch the video Ocean of Emotions. He's like dressed up like a emo punk rocker.
Okay.
He's like walking and singing and you know, so it's like total other side of the. Or you produced that beat for that one Don't Step On Me.
Yeah, too. He did a song about dog shit.
Yeah, Don't Step On Dog
and not food. Avoiding it was the topic.
So that was okay. I remember you were telling me about this a while ago.
You
so
should
that must
watch
be
it. You would
song,
actually,
right?
I think you would actually really dig Type because you've got that comedy style,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's those two songs. There's the MC Type featuring Prof. What's the name of that one?
My Backpack.
My Backpack.
And it's kind of making a pun of the whole underground, you know, scene
backpack
of all
rappers.
The backpack rappers and all that. Yeah, featuring Prof, which he killed the verse. He has like, he just by looking at him rapping, you could tell he has a lisp in the video. So there's a lot of attention to detail on that, I believe.
So yeah, check those out on YouTube. So, Jaren, what's you've been producing for a while. Do you remember like your very first beat you ever made?
Well, actually, I've been into music my whole life. I play guitar, you know.
Okay.
So in high school, we had a band. We never did any performances. We've actually just played at our high school talent show. So that's probably our first performance there.
Then what was the name of the band?
Oh, we didn't even have. I don't remember.
Squiggly Puffs.
The Squiggly Puffs. But one of my friends, here's a crazy story, is I play guitar. I was playing for like 3-4 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends wanted to learn how to play guitar, Gerard. So he picked it up and I started teaching him a few things. And then with a year, he just took off and he was soloing. I was the rhythm player and then he was doing solos over my stuff. But it was amazing seeing someone with that natural talent just take off after, you know, I've been struggling for so long learning how to play.
Right.
But then I would
Gerard hit up Jaren.
Yeah.
Joe Hobbs. See you later.
That Cypress Hill self-titled album is really what set it off in the production. You know, I started really listening to it and figuring out what they're doing there. It's like, all they're doing is just taking little slices of records and looping them and playing them over each other. So then I really started getting into beat making at that point. Mm-hmm. That was like 92, that album came out, just years later.
So very much inspired by Muggs production.
Yeah, Muggs saying? And DJ Premier, I think, are one of the primary influences there.
Okay.
You can probably hear it in our album.
We at least hope you can.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by today, guys.
Yeah.
Where can we check out Early Bird music?
Earlybirdrap.com.
Earlybirdrap.com.
You guys have Facebook, too?
Yep. Facebook/Earlybirdrap.
Earlybirdrap.
All right. Thank you, Rob.com. You can go there. You can listen to the Some People's Kids podcast with my buddy Chuck. We got new episodes.
Chuck, hit us up.
We got some new episodes coming soon from there. I Define Design, my web, other graphic design stuff. What
can I
else
say that one
there?
More time? One, I Define Design.
I Define Design.
It sounds kind of cool.
I Define Design.
I've Define Design. I can't even.
I want to hear B Real say it.
Yeah.
Because he could make it.
I Define
weird,
Design.
Weird nasally voice. I don't know. That's not a good impression. Yeah, I've also got my website where I do impressions of people.
Nice.
That's all there.
Nice.
That's not a real thing.
You should do that, though.
Last words.
Oh, check us out. Early Birds.
Early Bird Rap.
Earlybirdrap.com.
Early Bird Rap.
Get the free album. Get them all for free. You know, I don't even really care. It's just like, take the music, spread it to your friends. Enjoy it. You know,
and I love you for listening. Seriously, let's make babies together.